Each weekday, a member of the community is invited to coffee at KYUK to discuss news and information relevant to Bethel and the Yukon-Kuskokwim Delta. Coffee at KYUK is where our community connects.
Hola, waka, chukma, all across the tundra. I'm also shouting out to the Yukon and the coast. This is Grady Deaton, and this show right here is Coffee at KYUK. Joining me to host the show, Anna Rose MacArthur. Good morning, Anna Rose.
Grady, good morning.
Good morning.
This week on Coffee at KYUK, we're talking with Alaska's U.S. Senate candidates. Today, we're talking with Dr. Al Gross. He's an independent who won the Democratic primary and is campaigning to replace Republican incumbent Dan Sullivan in the U.S. Senate. Dr. Al Gross, good morning. Thanks for joining us.
Hey, good morning, Anna Rose, and good morning to all the people of the YK Delta. It's a real pleasure to be back on your show again. I'm really excited about it. Monica and I are so disappointed that we've been unable to get out to the YK again and get to all the villages. It was a big part of our plan this spring and summer, but then, of course, because of COVID, we've been unable to do that. And I know that Emonik and Quinnahock and Kipnuk and Kasigluk are on lockdown, and I'm sorry about that. This is really hard, and only 2% of Americans have been infected with the coronavirus so far, and only 2%, and we already have about 220,000 dead Americans. And so this is a really, really big problem, and I'm really looking to get to Washington, D.C. to get this pandemic under control. And as a lifelong Alaskan doctor, it concerns me how vulnerable your communities are to this pandemic, and that's been essentially worsened by the president and the United States Senate, and that includes Dan Sullivan. They've been dishonest about this pandemic and the severity of it from the start, and they hid it from us for at least a couple of months, fully aware that this was going to be a huge problem. And with Raven Air going out of business and the USPS being sabotaged from Washington, D.C. by President Trump, with Senator Sullivan smiling right behind him, standing at his side, President Trump is trying to destroy our post office and has called our post office a joke. Those are Trump's words, not mine. I love the post office, and I know how important the bypass mail is, the bypass mail program is to you, and the tribal health care system in the villages without our clinics have taken an incredible lead on protecting, testing, and mitigating the coronavirus with conflicting guidance from the top. I know I don't have a lot of time here, so I'll make this quick. I was first running for the United States Senate to bring jobs and restore the economy in Alaska and to improve our health care system. And along the way, I found the tribal health care system is a lot better off than most markets. But nonetheless, I'd like to very much find a way to complement your programs in the process when I get to the U.S. Senate. In my touring of the state, including the Kuskokwim last summer, I've come to learn a lot more about tribal governance, Alaska Native corporations, subsistence, land use, and your transportation, energy, and infrastructure needs. And I would be a responsive senator to you, and I hope I can gain your vote in my rural outreach programs. Michelle Spark from Bethel is my deputy campaign manager, and she and Tanya Jimmy from Tuksuk are working out of Anchorage for my statewide effort. But I have an office here in town at BNC with Helen John and Paige Malone. They're running things out there, and Jackie Cleveland's out in Quinnahock. I hired about 40 community organizers in the North Slope, the Bering Strait, YK, Bristol Bay, and the Aleutians, and they've been doing a really great job talking to voters and teaching me about your voters in return. You may have also heard that we have some really, really cool berry buckets and face masks.
And Dr. Gross, I want to be able to jump in here to talk about your qualifications as you're widely campaigning around the state. So you are an orthopedic surgeon. Healthcare is one of your main issues. You went on to get another degree in public health, and now you're seeking public office. But have you yourself ever held public office of any kind? You list qualifications like fishing and family history and politics. What makes you qualified for the U.S. Senate?
Well, I've been in leadership positions ever since I was a kid. And I was growing up in Juneau, I was president of my class. I was captain of sports teams. I was chief of the medical staff in Juneau. I was president of a multi-specialty orthopedic group in Juneau. So I've been in leadership positions, and growing up in Juneau, I've been friends with and in the shadow of many of the state's greatest leaders, from Bill Egan. I was on first-name basis with him when I was 4 years old, all the way up to Jay Hammond, who was a very, very close friend of mine. Of course, my father was Jay Hammond's attorney general, and together the two of them created the Permanent Fund and many, many other really great programs, including the rural school program.
So have while you I've never yourself held ever office, held public office?
No, I've never run for public office because I've always been a doctor, and but I think I'm very, very qualified to step in, and there's nothing in the Constitution that says you have to be a career politician to run for the United States Senate.
One of your main issues you're campaigning on is wanting to improve our nation's healthcare system. And let's go into that. You say that you're not in favor of Medicare for all. Instead, you want Medicare to be a public option on the insurance marketplace. How would that work?
Well, there are a lot of people who are very, very happy with the healthcare systems that they have, including starting with the tribal health system locally. There are a lot of people that don't want government to come in and change that, and I very, very much respect that and would want to continue to preserve programs like that and the Veterans Administration and a lot of private health insurance people are happy with. But some people are really, really getting hurt with the private health care industry, and Alaska has the most expensive private health care system in the entire country, and it's really hurting a lot of people that live here in the state and keeping businesses from moving here. So I would very much be in favor of letting individuals and small businesses have the choice and let them choose. And if they want to buy Medicare directly from the government, they should have that right. It will be so much cheaper than buying it with a private health insurance company because of the much lower administrative costs. And I think it'll really help open up our economy.
Your opponent, Republican incumbent Dan Sullivan, his advertising says you're a liberal Democrat just pretending to be an independent. You've won the Democratic primary, and what makes you different from a Democrat?
Well, I'm very much not a Democrat, and I'm very much not a Republican. I registered as a nonpartisan independent when I was 18 because of my father's relationship with Governor Jay Hammond, and I grew up in a very bipartisan administration, and I was a registered Republican for 5 years. I was a Democrat for less than 1 year, and I've been a nonpartisan independent ever since, or, well, for the vast majority of my life, I would say. You know, I'm fiscally conservative. I don't believe government should get in people's personal private lives at all. I'm not going to take away anybody's guns or ban any weapons, and I believe in a strong and enforceable immigration policy. So I think all of those are to the right of the Democratic platform. But the Republicans have completely failed when it's come to health care, when it came to controlling the pandemic. They've tried to strip away coverage for pre-existing conditions repeatedly, including Dan Sullivan. They're trying to strip away the Medicaid expansion, taking tens of thousands of Alaskans are making them uninsured. So I don't support the Republicans' platform on health care at all. And I will caucus with the Democrats because I want to take a leadership role to try and get the public option through. But Dan Sullivan's being very, very dishonest about who I am. And, you know, he's been dishonest about the Pebble Mine. And for 9 years, he could have stepped out and spoken out against the Pebble Mine. But it took shaming him publicly through those tapes, those secretly recorded tapes with Tom Collier, to force him to suddenly flip-flop on the issue. And as you know, he took $35,000 worth of contributions from Pebble Mine executives and their subsidiaries. So I'm not beholden to any corporations. I'm only beholden to the Alaskan people, and all of my contributions have come from individual contributions.
And speaking of the Pebble Mine, you're in opposition to it. You said on Talk of Alaska that you can't support the Donlin Mine either, but you think the environmental and fisheries concerns can be worked out, and then you would support the mine. Is that correct?
Well, you know, I support the people, and the people of Bristol Bay have come out strongly against double mine. And I've gill netted in Bristol Bay as a kid. I spent two summers gill netting out there when I was in my 20s. So I learned about the double mine when I was out there. And from when I was out in Bethel, I spoke with a lot of people about the Donlin mine. And it doesn't seem to me as though the people have reconciled with the Donlin company to the point where they are in support of the mine. So I can't support a mine that the people aren't in favor of. And I would favor the people continuing to work with the mine executives to try to find a way where both parties are happy. But until they are, I won't support it, because I'm not beholden to any corporations. I'm just trying to do what's right for the people.
When it comes to your energy position, you refer to it as all of the above. You pledge to advocate for responsible oil and gas development, but oil is bound to be a declining part of the economy. So why are you not supporting the Green New Deal advocated by some Democrats?
Well, I'm sitting here in Kodiak today, as a matter of fact, and Kodiak has almost 100% renewable energy. They have wind turbines, they have hydro, and it supplies almost 100% of the town's energy. It's an extremely successful renewable energy town, and I'm a very, very strong proponent of trying to use renewable energy all around the state wherever we can. And the problem with the Green New Deal is it has carbon pricing, carbon taxes, and deadlines associated with that, and that'll cost Alaskans jobs. And I'm very much running for the United States Senate to bring the jobs to Alaska. And I think the Green New Deal, as it's written, will not do that. And so I don't support the Green New Deal, but I'm a strong supporter of renewable energy. And I think we should join back up with the Paris Climate Accords, because it's not binding. We don't have to do anything if we join it. It just brings us to the table to discuss with other leaders around the country, around the world, about the about climate change. We need to learn from other people and work together to try and fix our changing climate, because, as you know, we had massive fisheries failures all across the state, including the YK drainage. And, you know, I know that you had high water there, but there was no fishery in Chignik at all, and a number of fisheries just collapsed. And so there's a lot going on with our climate, and I think we can't just stick our head in the sand and deny that it's happening. And Senator Dan Sullivan has called Alaskans climate change alarmists, and I don't think that's right. I think we need to really look at the science and be part of the solution, but at the same time support our oil and gas industry. As long as we have oil reserves and there's a worldwide demand, we should be producing oil and gas, because it's been so good for the Alaskan economy.
How do you reconcile that continuous oil and gas production with the climate change impacts that we're seeing, particularly here in the YK Delta, where we have active relocation of communities occurring because of climate change?
Well, I think we need to be part of the solution by moving towards clean, renewable energy wherever we can, and that will bring really good jobs to Alaska. And as the world's demand for oil declines, I think so will the reserves of oil in Alaska. And if we don't produce the oil, someone else will. And so I think Alaska will be losing out if we don't continue to produce oil, because it's such an important part of our economy. But at the same time, we should be part of the solution by using less and less petroleum products in our state whenever we can.
Switching topics, do you have a position on Native tribal self-government powers?
Well, I'm a strong proponent of tribal sovereignty. I think Native people are amazing people, and they should be able to self-govern wherever in any way they can with respect to subsistence and public safety. I think it would make a lot of sense.
The Senate may not be able to reach a vote on confirming Judge Amy Coney Barrett to the Supreme Court. If you're elected and the nomination is still pending, what would your position be on this appointment?
Well, you know, I'm running for the United States Senate, and my head is down, and I'm moving forward for the election. And if and when or when I win the election, if Amy Coney Barrett and still has not been confirmed, then I will have to sit down and look carefully at her positions. I think it's very likely that the Senate will confirm her before I'm sworn in. And so I'm not focused on that at the moment. I'm focused on winning the election.
And if elected, do you think you'd be able to work well with Senator Lisa Murkowski?
I do. I think I would work very well with Lisa Murkowski because I know that she, like me, always puts Alaska first. And I think she and I share concerns about similar issues in Alaska. So I very much look forward to working with her.
You referred to yourself earlier as fiscally conservative. With a fiscal conservation mindset, what kind of action would you like to see Congress take in light of the economic crisis that we're in? Should Congress be supplying more stimulus money to the American economy?
Well, I do think that Congress is going to need to be coming up with more relief packages because, as I said, the COVID epidemic is, you know, this is a slow-moving tsunami, and only 2% of Americans have been infected. And look at the devastation it's had on our economy already. But, you know, Dan Sullivan voted for tax cuts for billionaires prior to COVID-19, and this almost doubled the national deficit, and that's not very fiscally responsible. And also, President Trump's trade war with China is really, really hurting the price of fish because of.
But what action should Congress take?
Well, I think that the Congress can stop the trade war with China because the U.S. government just compensated fishermen across the country $500 million as a result of the trade war as a price adjustment, and that $500 million goes straight into the national debt or back at us in taxes. So the tariffs are really, really hurting the price of fish, but they're hurting our national debt as well.
And that's all we have time for. Dr. Al Gross, thank you for joining us this morning.
Well, thank you. Thank you so much, and I see that you've got a new radio station out there, and you know, I'm a strong proponent of broadband internet. I think that's a great way to bring jobs to rural Alaska, and I will work really hard on that when I get to the U.S. Senate. So I really appreciate the opportunity and hope you all have a really, really great day. And we're in Kodiak, walking the docks, meeting with the fishermen, and I look forward to speaking with you again.
That is Dr. Al Gross. Dr. Gross is an independent candidate running on the Democratic ticket for the Alaska U.S. Senate seat. Tomorrow, we'll talk with U.S. Senate Republican incumbent candidate Dan Sullivan. I hope you'll join us. I'm Anna Rose McGrady. Back to you.
Thank you, Anna Rose. Leaving just one thing left to say to listeners, and that's don't forget to be awesome to each other.